This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today.
Where you are, Sarge?
I have no idea what we're going to talk
about. Let's just wing it.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I'm your host, Chris Spangle, a very sleepy and tired Chris Spangle. Y'all have gotten two episodes, and this is the third episode this week, so this one may not be terribly long because Greg's not here. Yeah, that's right. Mr. Faithful is not here. But joining me is Rob Kendall. Rob, how are you doing?
Chris, you are one of my most famous friends.
You got to get close on the mic.
I got to be closer. There you go.
Yeah,
how about that?
Say it louder and repeat that again.
Chris, you are you are one of my most famous friends, and it's a total thrill to be here with you.
You said the F word before we started, and I was like, I'm not famous. I just have 5,000 Facebook friends. That's not fame.
Well, see, I'm in media, so I know how to play this up. I know the key to the host is to stroke the ego, because that's how you get invited back.
That is true. You are learning. You learned that from Abdul, didn't you?
I did. My mentor, friend, and brother from another mother, the legendary Abdul.
Yeah, Abdul was with us 3, 4, 5 episodes ago, so our listeners are familiar with him. He came on to bust my balls.
And that's fun.
Right.
And you guys are great. I never miss a podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And by the way, before we start today, Ryan Ripley gave me some instructions before I...
Fuck that guy. What does he say?
Came in. His direct quote was, and I quote, "Give Spangle hell."
Oh, Ryan Ripley can go to church on Sunday.
Is that for a good libertarian? Is that the worst thing you can say to somebody?
No, Ryan's a good dude. I love busting his balls. And I owe him, I don't owe him lunch. He's buying me lunch because I know how much he makes. But, and that's my deal. I like to let people buy me lunch.
Well, you're a celebrity.
Well, exactly. I mean, I went out with a young lady recently and I was like, oh, I forgot my wallet. Buy my Chipotle.
Here is my theory on dating, Chris. If buy my Chipotle. If you
I know how to treat a woman.
If you can date a woman significantly younger than you, you are a celebrity of some sort. That's my theory on dating.
It's my memes. All the young women in Indianapolis love my dank memes. Now, Greg, so tell us, well, we'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah, I'll just sit over here quiet until you're ready for me.
Greg, we have friends over at the Obsessive Viewer podcast, Matt Hurt, Tiny, and then a guy that I don't like. I think his name's Mark.
I love that you actually say you don't like your listeners.
No, I don't. He's not a listener. He's a podcast host.
Okay.
So he should be treated like a dog.
Okay.
Because he hosts a podcast.
Well, but see, and I think it's interesting, though, that you are bold enough to where you just tell your fellow podcasters what you think of them. You're not trying to suck up. You're not trying to get anything out of
this. No, I love Matt and I love Tiny. I think Mark White or Mike White or whatever his name is a dick.
Do you think that's his real name?
No. No.
Do you guys use fake names as podcasters?
No, I mean, Chris Spangle is a pretty good name.
It's a radio name.
It's
just
totally
like Rob
is.
Kendall.
Right. I got to make sure I'm recording. I have a history. I'm a professional. My job is producing podcasts for audience of tens of thousands of internet users and an audience on radio of 2 million people. I run their social media. I run their website. I run their podcast, their videos. I edit and do all that stuff for the Bob and Tom Show. I can't even hit the record button on my own podcast.
It appears as though you have done it tonight, though.
I have.
You have properly executed assigned producer duties.
Yes. So,
and this is interesting. You have, and I don't want to spill the beans here,
no,
but,
go for it.
You know, when I do my Central Indiana Today show on WIRZ, I have a big setup computer.
Sure.
I've got the mixer like you. You've got just this little device. Like,
yeah.
You are just plug and go.
It's how you use it, Rob.
It's...
It's not that little. It's not that little. I call it a marriage device. It's it's not big and it's not too little. It's just right in between.
Because I feel like it sort of fits our radio setup sort of fits our personality. You are compact. You are useful with your resources.
But
I'm big, flamboyant, completely
explosive.
Over the top. Yes.
No, we go in. I've done a podcast on. If you look up the Chris Spangle Show podcast, episode 1 of one episodes of that
show. You're one of one.
Right. Is about how we make all the podcasts. And we use Shure SM48 microphones, and then we use cheap-ass cords that goes into an Alesis Multimix 8. And then I take that out to a Zoom recorder, which a Zoom H2N, and Zoom recorders are by far just the best. And we used to, in the early days, record into a computer, but it kept crashing. And so I just went with the Zoom, and I love this thing.
Because the last time I did this show, I remember we were Skyping.
Right.
And
right.
Joe Ruiz, I was looking at Joe Ruiz in a muscle shirt for whatever that was, like an hour or however long it went. It was dreadful. So when you said we can come to the studio, I was like, thank God.
Yeah, that was the Now Rest in Peace, the show report, which is in the podcast feed if you want to go back and listen to it. It was 14 episodes on the media, and we had you on. I don't know why.
Well, you had me on because I was close with April Gregory at the time.
Well, I wanted her phone number.
And you were trying to suck up to her.
Oh, yeah.
Who, she married a guy that's way better than both of us.
No, that's not true. I've never met him. I will not admit to that. I need to meet a person before I... Well, no.
Well, and you know, the thing I can
always... I've never met St. Paul. I'm sure he's better than me.
You know, St. Paul. You know, the thing I can always say about the lovely April is she did take a photo with my fat head.
Oh, I'll tell you what. You were friend-zoned hard by April, weren't you?
I was. You know, I won't go into the details about that, but she's a great friend. And, you know, here's my...
Do you two sit around and have brunch and talk about her boyfriend?
Here's my April story. So I was really close with April's brother, Josh.
Uh-huh.
And Josh and I did announced sporting events together, very close. And Josh would talk about his family, but he never talked about his sister.
Right.
And so...
Who's hot and blonde.
Yes. Very attractive lady. And...
Lady.
Yeah.
Yes. She's a lady.
So at one point, I get a friend request from this girl named April Gregory. And Spangle, I'm sure you're like me. If you get a friend request from a hot girl, you ask no questions. If you think she is a real profile, and her name is not, you know...
Even spam.
You're in.
I get daily requests from Janessa Brazil and Raven Riley, two porn stars. I don't know how they have so many accounts.
And
we're
it's
friends.
Different photos each time. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's legit. I see she's this girl's friends with a lot of political people. I'm like, heck yes. So she messages me. We start talking.
She's like, hey, buddy.
I think I'm going to say this, and April may deny this now. I think she was mildly interested in the beginning, like intriguing. Because
and then she met you.
I have a yes, then she met me. But I have a reputation. You know, I'm fairly compelling in the abstract, you know, on social media and on the radio. And
it's just your personality.
I was using the I have taxing authority line back then to garner support of women. You would be surprised how many women out of your league you can garner with the line, I have taxing authority, or I control your water.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
So,
jeez, don't raise my water bill.
So April and I meet for drinks. I start talking with her. It's a great evening. Then she mentions her brother, Josh.
Right.
And I'm like, Josh Gregory is your brother. And she's like, yeah. So I put that one in my back pocket. The next morning, and I'm talking like probably 7 a.m., I am blowing up this dude's phone. And I said, why didn't you ever tell me? And keep on, I've been friends with this dude for like 10 years. I said, why didn't you ever tell me your sister looked like that? And Josh is a great guy. His direct quote to me, and I will never forget this as long as I live, his like one line reply back, because I knew exactly what you'd do.
Which you never did, because you two were having brunch talking about all her boy problems.
That's right. But she is married now. She has a child. She is April is the best.
Then I'm out.
Yeah.
Sorry, April. We can't date now.
Yeah. It's you
ruined it.
Yeah.
You ruined it. You got married and had a kid, and now I don't have a problem with the kid. It's the married thing. Listen, I've got standards, April. You're out of the running.
Your morals only go so far. So anyway, I have no idea how we got on
I'm just kidding. But, April, call me.
That's... Spangle has a lovely place near Greenwood. He's great.
Isn't this a luxury apartment?
It is pretty nice. I mean, I knocked on the door, and I felt like as I walked up the stairs that this was,
very fancy, not a speed bump in sight.
This is the Spangle estate, as I like to call
it. That's right.
That's what we got on the topic, was you were nice to me because I was friends with April.
Totally, yeah.
And as soon as April met Skater Steve, and they ended up getting married, and they have their marital bliss that they have now, you stop being my friend for a
while. Oh, yeah, we're not friends. Well, no, it's more the Republican thing.
You really are my friend based on the intrigue of what you perceive to be possibly a current girlfriend or an ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm all over that.
That's how our friendship ebbs and flows.
I'm all over that situation. Not that situation, but your situation.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been a while, but it's great to be back in your presence.
No, see, I'm into brunettes. You're into blondes.
Yeah, I'm a blonde guy.
Yeah.
Or currently strawberry blonde.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there is a form of blonde in that.
But yeah, you've got some stories. We were talking off air. Lots of good stories.
I've lived a good life.
You have.
As Ric Flair would say, I'm a high-riding, jet-flying son of a gun.
I don't know what that means. Joe Ruiz is cheering because you made a wrestling reference, though. But yeah, you've got a lot of situations going on that are fantastic.
I live a charmed life, and my life is about to get so much more charmed January 1 because I'm out of municipal government.
Okay. So, Greg Lenz, we'll get to you in a second, Rob.
Yes.
Now, Greg Lenz was supposed to be here, as always, and he promised to do better this time, but he failed. Our friends Matt, Tiny, and that guy that I don't like all have a podcast called The Obsessive Viewer, and they have an event here in Indianapolis called Shocktober. Greg and I will be attending it. I think it's October 18th in Irvington, and it's like a film festival with nerdy, scary movies or something. Some crap like that. Go see it. And he was picking up flyers, being a good friend, which that'll teach him. If you want to be a good friend, you're going to end up with a flat tire, and you're going to have to call AAA.
I thought that was a staple of libertarianism, is not to be a good friend to anyone but yourself.
No, that's objectivism. And objectivists are the worst people on the planet. Oh, that's mean. I'm just kidding. Lauren Rumpler, though, my little buddy Lauren, she's objectivist girl. She's like, I'm not going to be objectivist girl anymore. Objectivists are the worst people on the planet. They're awful.
By the way, I really stood up for you. This was probably 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I was at Abdul's big shindig at the Antelope Club.
Right.
And the head of the current Libertarian Party.
Joe Houtman?
Yes.
Okay.
Very nice guy.
Right.
We had a very... Melissa Hubbard
right.
was to my right. And so I had a madam to my right, and the head of the Libertarian
right,
Party.
A former chemistry teacher on one side,
yes.
and a dominatrix on the other.
Yes, and
that's how libertarian events go.
And so I'm having great conversations with both of them, and I told them, I said, the Libertarian Party in the state was never stronger than when you had Spangle trolling around in a tie-dye T-shirt with
that's
Rupert.
Right. That's right.
Because I think he sort of wants to maybe move away from the Rupert world. I don't know that for sure, but I think Rupert was great for you guys.
I think there may be personal beef there, but... No,
but I was singing your praises.
I appreciate it,
and Melissa will back it up.
Oh, Melissa! I love her.
She's
love
great,
her.
Isn't she?
She's the best. But yeah, Greg got a flat tire, could not make it. Sends his regards. Missed a great story. Poor Greg. Sorry, man. Vault sealed. he's gonna be so mad too. Now. So yeah, Obsessive Viewer podcast, check that out. Listen to it right after you listen to the Cap podcast with Joe Ruiz. The best culture and arts podcast in the world with Joe Ruiz, the Cap podcast, second Obsessive Viewer.
Well,
Matt,
when I think
Matt
of,
Tiny and that guy I hate.
When I think of culture and, what was the other word you used?
Arts.
Arts, I think of Joe Ruiz.
Of course. Now, who are you? You hosted a show with April here on the when we had the WAL Radio Network,
which was great.
We had a bunch of different shows. It's still WAL-radio.com.
Are the podcasts still up there?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go back and check that
yeah.
out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was when that was actually back when I was dating my one brunette that I dated.
Oh, how'd that go?
That ended just like most of the blondes. And I'm still sitting here talking to you.
Yeah, you live. We all live. You get dumped by the sandy blondes, the brunettes, the redheads.
I've been rejected by all colors of the rainbow, my friend. Some
men
in the rainbow.
Men, women, cats, all of them.
So the Rob Kendall Show podcasts are still up there.
They are.
Folks, if you want to go hear retro Rob Kendall, you've got to go check that
and
out.
And who doesn't?
And the lovely April Gregory.
Yeah.
That was great. So who am I? Was that your question?
It's not a philosophical question. It's more like, what's your background?
So I am a member of the town council in Brownsburg.
Okay.
I was the youngest elected official in Hendricks County when I was elected at the time. That got me very far in the dating realm.
What party?
I am a Republican. But it's Hendricks County, so everyone's Republican.
Right, exactly.
And I'm sort of like 30% libertarian. You know, okay. I agree with you on a lot of things.
Okay.
Troy Hill really pisses me off sometimes.
Troy pisses me off. If I hear that Canadian joke one more damn time, I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to take his photography straps that are attached to his camera and I'm going to strangle him. I love Troy. I do. I have a lot of love. Clearly, I have a lot of love for Troy Hill. But if he makes the Canadian joke one more time, there's going to be a death.
Well, so I am what I would call a...
I just threatened murder and you're moving right on.
Well, I did because that's your problem now. You know, the authorities, they know where to find you, I'm sure, huh?
God, please, I hope Troy, nothing happens to Troy tonight.
Come on, Chris, you've got to know if you're going to threaten someone, you don't do it with a paper or audio or digital trail. Come on.
No, him and Sam Goldstein, they love that Canadian joke.
Boy, it is worn out too, fellas.
I know Troy listens.
Yes, so that's Troy, that is worn out, fellas. I mean, I love the dear leader stuff, you know, but this continual Canadian thing, we got to move on, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, I was the youngest elected official in the county when I was elected.
14.
Yeah, I was 14 years old 14 when, years I was, old. When I was elected. Worked as director for the Indiana Board of Pharmacy, and I owned two businesses.
What did you know about pharmacy?
I was in there for my managerial skills. That position was in need of some serious reform, and I'm very pleased to say the time I was there, applications up 11%, licenses up 6%, and we did it with fewer people. Now, limited government, better results.
Now, Rob.
Yeah.
Do you have pharmacy experience?
Most people that are...
Have you ever even illegally sold a drug?
I have never illegally sold a drug. However, most people that are in that position have not had pharmacy experience because you are an administrator for the will of the board.
Okay.
You are a paper pusher.
Gotcha.
I am not making policy on, or was not making policy on drugs.
Of course.
My job was to get the licenses out, the applications processed. My history of government is very efficient, limited, tax reform, more with less.
Right.
And it did that for the state.
And you went and did that, and that's why you had to end the Rob Kendall show.
That is why I had to end the Rob Kendall show.
Right. Now, because you campaigned for Mike Pence, and
I
then
did.
Somehow you magically ended up with a job working in the state government.
But I spent 8 months with three state auditors before that.
Okay. And so you couldn't be involved, and then you quit that job because you decided, I no longer want to be a parasite on my own citizens by working for the government and collecting a paycheck from the hard-earned taxpayer dollars of the citizens of Indiana.
I prefer to say that I had accomplished what I promised the people who hired me that I would do, which is get the applications and licenses up. But you word it however you want.
I know. I word it the way that the libertarian, we are libertarians, listeners might.
And I may at some point word it something similar to that when I'm at home by myself. but that was an interesting experience. I own two small businesses. I own Audio Sports Online. We do broadcasts of high school, college, and professional sporting events on the internet. So if you want to sit at home and watch your Avon Orioles on Friday night, you can do that. And also in a radio station near the Port of Wilmington in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's actually where we first met. Mike Munger.
My man.
Yeah, Mike.
My political hero. See, my hero is a libertarian.
Michael Munger is Duke University economics professor.
Yes, and now I think he just gets paid to travel around the world.
I think he's chair of the economics department at Duke
University.
Yeah,
he was chair of the political science department. I think he said, I don't want to do that anymore. Now he goes to, like, Chile, because he's very...
Okay.
Dr. M will probably hear this, because I'll tag him in this.
Right.
He was very adamant during his time that it was Chile, not Chile.
Okay.
Because me being a Hoosier guy, it was Chile.
Oh, yeah, no. It's like, we're going to go down and get a steak burger and chili.
Yeah, so now, so he does that, and yes, that's where we met. Dr. M came and gave a speech at the Antelope Club.
Yeah, here in Indianapolis, and he is, I would say he's a libertarian.
He is.
How does he describe himself?
I would say smarter than everyone else is how he describes himself.
Well, I don't know about that, but he is. Now, he is definitely somebody you should look up. He comes to Indianapolis a lot for the Liberty Fund, Works with the Liberty Fund. If you don't know them, look them up.
Great dude.
Library of Economics and Economics and I don't know. Anyways, look up the Liberty Fund and look up Michael Munger. And he ran for governor in North Carolina and got ballot access. He was such a great candidate there.
He was a hero. I mean, to me, he was a hero because that's when I first started on radio in North Carolina. And to me, it was before I'd considered a career in elected office or anything like that.
Rob Kendall.
As soon as I said it, I thought, yeah, my 4 years on the town council. population 25,000, welcome to Brownsburg.
Career politician, Rob Kendall.
Well, there's a state senator that is glad that I chose to not make that decision.
I'm sure, yeah.
A hero of mine, because that was a guy that just flipped his middle finger to everyone on both sides and said, I'm running, we're doing this right. And the guy won like 3% of the vote,
right,
which for libertarians in North Carolina.
With no state party at the time?
That's like 10 million votes.
I think it was 2008.
If the guy would have been a Republican, he'd have been the governor, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The guy's a total 10. He's a star. He's been a mentor, a friend. He actually wrote.
Incredibly handsome.
Yeah, great dude. He is a Cardinals fan, so I hold that against him.
Okay.
But he wrote the foreword to my first book. I actually have had two books that I've published, and
okay.
Munger's great. He's awesome.
Both romance novels?
Yes, they are. There is actually one.
Mike, will you pin? I don't know that this book necessarily needs the hand of a political scientist from Duke University.
So there's actually one chapter in each of the books about women that I've had experiences with. In the first book, it's called Things You Learn from Attractive Women. And it's about one girl who decided she was going to follow her life vision on what a psychic told her.
Okay.
And the other one...
Sounds about right.
In the second book...
that was by the redhead, right?
The first book is called What Aren't You Getting? And the second one is called Path Less Traveled. And Path Less Traveled is about a girl that used to be very fond of, that was, when I finally got to know her, was not nearly what I had envisioned her being, which, Spangle, you've been through that.
April Gregory.
Yes, I can assure you it was not April Gregory. But, you know, every man has some sort of vision or fantasy about what they think a woman is based on the public perception of them, and then when you get to know them, you realize that was a big waste of time.
I was terribly disappointed when I finally dated Jennifer Hudson, and she just wasn't like I thought she would be. But
well,
I don't know why the first famous female name I could think of was Jennifer Hudson.
So by the way, if you are interested in knowing more about me, I don't know why you would be, but Path Less Traveled is the name of the book. It is available on Amazon, and I think I get like $2 off each book sold. So
yeah,
buy early and often.
Bring your Kindle, he'll autograph it.
It is a digital available for a digital download. And a good friend of ours, Jay Baker, wrote the foreword to the second book.
Ah, Jay, yeah, Q95 legend.
Yes, so I've got Munger and Baker with my two forewords to my my books.
And next time, Greg Lentz. Greg Lentz.
And
Greg
by the way, if you buy Path Less Traveled, there is a great picture of Governor Pence and myself on the back.
Oh, see, that's when our friendship ended. That's when we lost the magic, Rob.
Well,
is you became such a Pence fan.
I was very into
No. Listen to me.
Yeah, everyone zone in on this.
Nobody except Mark Warner. Mark Warner and Jeff Cardwell, those two guys, love Mike Pence.
They are fans. They are fans.
Everybody else says, yeah, I guess he's who we got. Like,
well, the great thing is I left the state. I accomplished what I wanted to do. I hated working for other people. It's just awful. You are now working for other people again.
I like it. I mean, I get paid to watch TV, essentially.
Yeah, that's true. You had a better job than I did. I was dealing with senators and
I have the best job.
You have a wonderful job.
Now send this to my my wonderful bosses.
So got to go back doing my own businesses again now. And I also host a radio show on WYRZ, which is the new FM in Hendricks County, 98.9. It's called Central Indiana Today, and we interview elected and appointed officials throughout Central Indiana.
Ironically, Central Indiana Today airs tomorrow.
That is right. It airs every day, Monday through Friday, 6:30 p.m., and we podcast. So like today, we had Todd Young, who's a U.S. congressman, on. You know, we do a lot of local stuff. Yeah. Councilman,
Todd Young.
Yeah, I'm sure you're probably not a fan, would be my guess.
God, no. But I like Todd Rokita. I like that guy.
Well, we love Todd. Todd lives on the border of Brownsburg.
Probably not politically, but I like Todd as a person.
I feel like you and Todd would have fun together socially.
We do.
You coincide very well. And yep. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Todd's my homeboy.
So anyway, I run in all sorts of circles. I have tons of libertarian friends. Mm-hmm. I have a few Republican friends that I haven't pissed off here over the past 4 months with my support of Donald Trump. And
okay. How do you feel about the gays? Do you like the gays? You a big fan?
You know, I think I subscribe to the Abdul theory that what you do on your own time, in your own house, as long as it doesn't affect me, I do not care on anything, really, right. For the most part. That is my view on things. So when you start messing with my wallet or my life or what I can do, that's when I care.
Right.
So school referendum, you're going to mess with my wallet, I'm on board. I'm on board with defeating that.
Yeah.
You know, but what you do personally, no concern of mine.
See,
I feel like that's a libertarian.
It is very libertarian, but it's also very wishy-washy.
What does that mean? I mean, that's pretty straightforward. What you do on your own time is up to you. What I do on my own time is up to me. And as long as our worlds don't, you know, you don't impact me or I don't impact you.
Of course, that's a very philosophically accurate answer.
That is libertarian to the core.
How do you reconcile that belief with the fact that the majority of your party disagrees with that stance and they want to use the government to force others to live as Mike Pence sees the way that they ought to?
Chris, you know me by now. You know that I care about who one person thinks, and that's Rob Kendall.
I think we're all aware of that. I worry, 25 minutes in, and we're all aware, Rob.
I worry about what I think. I worry about living my own life. I think things like the RFRA issue and I think gay marriage have made the Republicans look like a bunch of idiots with the way they've handled it. If that was great public policy and that was your view that it was great public policy for a while and you went for it and you passed it or whatever, stay with it. But when you back out of something, you're basically, I think, admitting, well, we screwed up and we made a bunch of people really mad. And you know me, I'm all for people making people mad if it's the best public policy.
Sure.
But don't back out of it if it's good public policy.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And don't get caught recording sex videos and sending them to people if you're a big supporter of RFRA.
Yeah.
Mr. Judd.
We have no idea what happened with that. We'll let it play out.
We know Judd McMillan. Judd McMillan is an Indiana State Senator or Senator
Rep. He's a House member.
House member.
He was.
And here's a guy who has repeatedly, the rumor mill has been hot on this guy's trail for a long time. I mean, crazy rumors too. And yet they kept moving him up the chain in leadership in the State House. And he was a huge supporter of RFRA, and we've talked about RFRA here on the podcast. So if you don't know what that is, then go back and listen and enlighten yourself. And he had to resign this week because he was he had taken a video, a sex video.
Do we know what the video was, though? Because Abdul has not reported it in the cheat sheet exactly what it was yet. So if Abdul doesn't report it, I don't know.
There was a donkey involved. It was very graphic.
I feel like you're making that
up.
There's
horseplay. It was terrible.
You're just winging it at this point.
I'm making all that
up. You're not, as Abdul would say, the legitimate news guy capacity.
Oh, God, no. If you are listening to this podcast, if you're listening to anyone but Greg on this podcast for legitimate information, then you are sorely mistaken. I am full of opinions, not facts.
But I thought not to say Abdul's the world's greatest philosopher, but I mean he might think he is.
Of course,
but he had a good point about RFRA. If you're truly concerned, all you had to do was put a sentence in that bill that would have said, "This law does not supersede any local, state, or federal ordinance." Problem solved. The end.
Right.
Good night.
Yeah, totally. But I just would have a tough time being in the. Listen, there are things in the Libertarian Party that I disagree with, both strategy wise, politically. Philosophically, and there are things that just can't be reconciled. Like the Libertarian Party stance on abortion is, let's not have a stance so we don't make anybody mad, you know, which is perfectly fine for sort of a middle of the road guy like myself when it comes to libertarians. But you know, if that's your issue, you're not going to like libertarians. You're going to like the Democrats or the Republicans. You know, that's
so. Here is the way I look at it, and this is my record on the town council. you know, we've had four consecutive property tax cuts, basically like 16% over the 4 years I've been in office. Unmatched prosperity, almost $300 million of new private investment in the town I've been in office for 4 years. New home prices up $68,000. These are all with a lot of libertarian philosophies that I've had, which is tax reform, government reform, money to away from special interest to infrastructure.
Right.
Those things would not have happened if I'm a libertarian because I can't get elected. But
I'm not arguing with that.
And that's what I've said to libertarians for a long time is you can change the Republicans, and it'd be much easier for you to get in there and make changes to the Republicans.
Why are you smiling? Are you smiling at my face?
You're looking at me, and I feel like you've got a response. But I said that for a long time because I don't think libertarians can get elected. It doesn't mean there shouldn't be libertarians because, like I said, I share a lot of their views. But I've been far more effective being in office as an elected Republican trying to enact my 30% libertarian views than if I'd have been a libertarian and not got elected.
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue the fact that I'm not sitting here hosting a libertarian podcast because of Ron Paul. I mean, because Ron Paul's presence on the debate stage in the Republican Party made me a libertarian, a philosophical libertarian.
What were you beforehand?
I was a Republican.
Yeah.
And I have, I mean, anecdotally, and there have been polling, exit polling in 2010 with Rebecca Sink Burris, Brad Ellsworth, and Dan Coats, CNN did some exit polling, and they found that it was really a third, a third, a third in who was your second choice, and who do you most identify with, consistently. And I have that somewhere, that exit polling. But that was the only day that I've other than David Bose's research, where I've really seen my anecdotal evidence on where libertarians draw from. It's about a third Republicans, a third Democrats, and a third just new voters or unaffiliated people. And, you know, I came from the Republican Party, but I had very libertarian tendencies. And I just spent so much time in the Republican Party going to these events, you know, where I am the youngest person in the room by a long shot. I am the, you know, it's, there is no, you know, going to the Republican State Convention here in Indiana was just a sham. I mean, I was so excited in 2004 to go, and I thought,
you were like 9 years old then.
I was. I was 9 years old. I was only 15 years away from losing my virginity. I just remember going to the Republican State Convention and thinking, I'm going to go. I'm going to vote. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to get to participate in this great democracy of ours, and I'm going to have my say. I'm going to elect these people. And it was just a giant pep rally, and everything had already been decided ahead of time. The votes were all by acclamation, so it was all, let's stand up and cheer, and, oh, is there any nays? Okay, thanks. You know, there was nothing, nothing substantive. And I thought, okay, well, it's just pomp and circumstance. I get that it's for the show. I understand media. And then that experience never changed. It was always, there are people who have already made all of the decisions within the party, and you have to sit there and kiss some old white man's ass for the next 35 years if you want to be one of those people. And, oh, by the way, you have to be a lawyer or really rich.
So I think you are spot on with people's perception. I would say this, though, and this is probably the most candid interview I have ever done, and that's saying something for me. It's
and it's not over.
Yeah, it's work.
You wait until we get to the hardest interview came before the show.
So I am very vocal. I have a very big ego. I am absolutely not afraid to tell people what I think on any issue. I am totally fine with telling people to piss off, and I've told many people inside the Republican Party to piss off. But I look at my town, and there have been four elections that I was somewhat involved in or they made me a central figure to this year. There were two town council races, a school referendum, and then we just had another town council election. All three of the council members I supported won, and won overwhelmingly, and the school referendum, despite being outspent, you ready for this, people? 60-1 still failed. So I look at it, yeah, there may be 45% of the people in my town who hate my guts and would light me on fire, but 55% of the people really love me and would stand behind me and would walk through fire for me. And that's what you need to get elected and get stuff done. So I'm not afraid to tell Republicans to go fly a kite if I don't agree with them.
Right. Well, and I will give you credit.
Thank you.
Finally. This is it. So don't spend it too many places. the smaller the local, the more local you are, if it's a township trustee, if it's a township board, if it's a town council, especially the smaller the town goes, the more success you're going to have in any party. Just pick the ruling party and be a libertarian in that party, and the chances are pretty good if you work your butt off. But there's also a good old boy network, and it's much stronger in those smaller towns than it is in a place like Indianapolis, for instance.
But Brownsburg was a great example of this, because it was run by the same, you know, I jokingly used to call them the Brownsburg Mafia for 30 years. And when I ran, I was this young guy out there saying all these things that we could do, and I was told the same things. You can't cut taxes. It's not possible. You can't fund the Ronald Reagan. You can't do a downtown redevelopment project. You can't. And I said, why not? Because you've had the same people making the same decisions for 30 years who are totally invested in themselves versus the betterment of the people. And if you elect somebody who, while a Republican, is not interested in anything other than getting stuff done, we can come together and do it. And it's been hell. It's been a fight. I think you see it play out on social media.
Totally.
But if you're willing to stand for what you believe in and you don't back down, and if somebody hits you, you hit them back twice as hard, you can get things done.
Well, I think that's sort of what we talk a lot about here on the podcast, is authenticity and speaking with courage. And that's part of the Donald's appeal to some people, although I don't think that he is courageous or authentic. I think he's just a live wire of... histrionic personality disorder, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, people are thirsting for any kind of authenticity in politics. They're thirsting for anybody who will just say what they honestly believe. And, you know, that's why somebody like Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump takes off, is because they feel like they're not being fed bullshit. People are just so tired of bullshit in every area of their life that we in this country have lost the ability or the skills at being authentic. It's just like, please like me. Now, of course, the need for approval, you and I should probably not be the ones to give advice on how to not live that life. Mister, I have written two books. I'm a politician and I have a podcast. And then there's me, which anybody who knows me, I love attention. But, you know, that's what politics is. It's more about, I always call politics the tyranny of the kids who didn't get picked for the soccer team in third grade. And you can back me up on this, because the people who go into politics were not popular in high school. They were super nerdy.
Guilty.
Yeah, and then they finally find another group of nerds, and then they're just going to get power and finally stick it to the jocks.
Yep. And you know, here's,
until they need to buy them a football stadium.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Here's the issue with a lot of politicians, and you just sort of touched on it. Most of them are afraid to be real people.
Right.
I am totally who I am. I am the same Rob Kendall in 2015 that I was in 2010.
Right.
I like dating good-looking women. I like going out and having fun. I hang out in Broad Ripple. I go to pro wrestling, and I'm not afraid to paint my face when it happens.
Yeah.
And that's me. And you know, when you see me, and if
backwards hat,
yep,
got a backwards hat on,
and I'm wearing a Muppet shirt,
right?
I mean, that is me, and I embrace that. And I think people, you know, everybody told me, well, they're just going to see a little kid out there. I said, no, they're going to see a real dude,
right?
Because I am a real dude,
right?
Chris Spangle is a real dude,
too real.
You are who you are, and I've had many people over my life, especially over the past couple of years, as I was thinking about running for other offices, telling me who you have to be. And I was so miserable anytime I tried to take someone's advice on who I had to be. And I am so happy being myself. And if that meant I lost an election, which I wouldn't, but if I did, so what?
But that's the thing. Like, you, when you try to be the person that you think you ought to be to get approval from others, you end up making yourself look like a fool because everybody can see it. And I've learned this the hard way the last couple of years especially. Like, everybody could see that I was just faking it, you know, because I was trying to fit into the crowd. And I just feel a lot of, I don't know, maybe shame's the right word, but just like stupidity. It's like, I was such a fool. Everybody could see it. I wish I had just been myself and things would have that situation would have worked out better. And in politics, that just is such, you know, you cannot let the facade crack because it might be a whiff of scandal, and everything is so fragile in politics. You know, that's why I almost respect a guy like Justin Moed, who is victim number two of Sidney Leathers, who is just a human garbage can.
Which, by the way, but you're Moed. How do you fall victim to Sidney Leathers? Let's use some common sense.
Yeah, she is just a slime ball of a human being.
You're not dealing with the Chris Spangle vault here.
No. No, then there's a lot of stories in there, and I've added Rob Kendall stories. If you walk into my house, you have to tell me your life story before we can start the podcast.
They were very clear on the We Are Libertarians.
What were the rules?
They were very clear on the what do you call that, the permission slip or whatever that you signed to come in the premises.
I will invite you into my house. I will not offer you something to drink. I will ask you your life story, and no, you are not allowed to show up early.
Yeah, that's right, and they were very clear as to why, and trust me, folks, you do not want to show up early.
Well, we talked about it that night, because as soon as I got dressed after exposing myself to James Neese, I said, I can't wait to start this podcast.
And I feel like you are a man who would answer the door naked.
I didn't answer the door naked. I accidentally left my door unlocked, and James Neese didn't knock. He just walked right into my house. I was in the bathroom cleaning it nude, listening to Kanye West.
You clean your bathroom nude? That seems like a health risk.
I had to clean the bathroom, and at the time I was nude.
You didn't, like, put on a pair of boxer shorts? I mean, that just seems like a health hazard.
If it gets bleach on it, then it's cleaner. So then I could skip the testing that month. No, I was going to take a shower, and I was like, oh, crap, I need to clean the toilet because people are coming over, and I haven't in the last couple days, and I have bad aim.
That you are concerned about your toilet being very clean when people come over.
It's hospitable.
I mean, I'm a dude. I never look at another dude's toilet and be like, oh, that toilet's really dirty.
Well, I mean, I'm very fastidious.
You are. Your house is so much cleaner than mine, but like 90% of my mess is because of Bruce.
And this is messy. I haven't done dishes in a week, but so I heard somebody rattling around in here. I was like, there's an intruder. And what do you do when there's an intruder in your house, Rob? You got to protect the homeland. I've got to protect Mittens and Cornelius.
Right.
And so I grabbed a washcloth with my left hand, put it over my junk, walked out, cocked my right hand back, ready to punch whoever was there. So and I saw James Neese sucking on a 44-ounce cola.
Oh, a cola. Thank you for clarifying that.
And I was like, well, James has seen me naked. He didn't see all of me naked. He just saw, and he's like, oh, geez.
Now, is this skinny Spangle that he saw naked, or was
this? This is like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so this was at least skinny Spangle.
Yeah, but it's still not that pretty. And I'm still 270. And so I go in the bathroom, I shut the door, I take a poop, I get in the shower, rinse myself off. Always a very messy poop, apparently. And come out, I go from the bathroom over to my bedroom to get dressed, and I see James, a well-known heathen, sitting at the end of my table reading the Bible. I converted a sinner.
Now, are you... Libertarians read the Bible, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that a discussion on Facebook the other day? I mean, wasn't there something? Didn't that come?
Yeah,
didn't John McCullough throw something at
you? John is not allowed to listen to this podcast. He's dead to me. I don't know who he is, but he can die in a fire.
Well, you know, here's the McCullough story.
Of course I'm a Christian, Rob.
McCullough was working down at IPLA when I was hired as director of Board of Pharmacy, and McCullough was one of the guys that, you know, I talked to about the job when I went down there, and I was like, oh, cool, you know, John's a funny guy, you know, da-da-da, this is going to be great. Like, 3 weeks in, he goes up to FSSA. It's like you're taking the troops to the battle line,
right.
And then the general goes, hey, you guys have fun, don't get shot.
So he commented that libertarians are just Republicans with no morals. And I just pointed out that, he's not allowed to listen to this podcast because he's dead to me for insulting all libertarians and my own personal ego. And two, libertarians have morals. They just don't believe it's moral to steal from other people and then force other people to go kill other people and all that good stuff.
So
why do you condone murder, Rob?
Did I condone murder? You know, by the way, I want to tell you that with Lentz not showing up, which I know you miss him, but
of
I feel
course.
Like this agenda is way better than that boring agenda he had prepared for us.
Oh, I know, because we're talking about us, and that's our favorite subject.
Nobody loves us more than us.
Now, well, that's a little Mittens. Help. I need an adult. Now, Greg's boring agenda was like Syria and Putin and important world events. And then I had a really busy week. We have a very big surprise at the Bob and Tom show coming next week.
That's exciting.
And it's mostly on my plate, so I'm going crazy. And I have not read the news in roughly 6 or 7 months and continue to host this podcast as an authority on the news.
Well, and for those of you who don't know this, Spangle and I had a like amazing like hour and a half long heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
When I got over here, he let me look through some very historic radio photos, which was like a dreamland for me.
It's porn. Yeah.
I told him my life story. I mean, it was great. This has been way more than I expected.
Oh, yeah. It's a party over here.
I mean, this is...
When you come over to Chris Spangle's house, you're talking emotions. You're looking at cool photos.
I mean, it's... It's
then you get to talk about you for an hour.
Yeah, this is the most fun I've ever had on media of any sort. I can assure you of that.
Now... we were talking about Republicans and Libertarians, and we went off on a long tangent, but I just will say that changing it from the inside, I don't see that working because the barriers are set very high. And so if you look at outside of the system, Republicans and Democrats have crafted, we have let Coke and Pepsi basically they have excluded RC Cola. They have written the antitrust laws to make sure that they are all powerful. And so they make the rules. And so they have made the rules impossible for third parties to get on ballots across the nation and have ensured a two-party system. And that is where there is the appearance that the republic remains and that democracy exists and that there's a fair shot for every human being, that if they want to run for office, they can. And little Mr. Smith can go to Washington in this day and age. But within the party system, it is the rules written by that party specifically written to keep the power structure in place. And so I have just watched over the last since 2008 especially, libertarians go to the Republican Party supposedly trying to change it from the inside, and Ron Paul was amazing, but Ron Paul is an amazing man. We get Rand Paul, who is a watered-down version of his dad.
He's a total loser.
And he is about to bow out. Now, you are not a good judge of character as far as presidential candidates go. We'll get to that in a minute. But
you would agree with me, because I was a Rand Paul guy. He's a total loser.
I don't think he's a total loser. I just have a problem.
He is a whiner.
I have a problem with...
Total whiner.
I don't know that I trust him.
So here's my thing with Rand Paul, and here's my thing with any presidential candidate.
Okay.
I think it would be safe to say I am an alpha guy. Like, I'm a me guy. I'm dominant.
You didn't need to come and put your butt in my face when you walked in the house. I got it. I got the gist.
I want a presidential candidate who has some balls. I want a presidential candidate who's going to say what they think. And I want a presidential candidate who is not afraid to walk out on a wire and say some things that are really controversial. What I don't
want... So Hillary Clinton is your man. Big balls.
I don't want criminals. Yes.
Big balls.
But I'll tell you, when I lost Ron Paul, or not Ron Paul, I voted for Ron Paul,
right,
for the record. Rand Paul, the first debate, they open the thing up. Trump does his thing about would you vote for, which you rather love that, though. He was very honest. I would not support.
I have not watched the debates. I watched the last one.
So the first question they ask, and it's geared toward Trump, because that was when he was saying, I might run as a third party. I might not vote for the Republican, which, by the way, if it's Lindsey Grahamnesty or Jeb Bush, I'm not voting Republican either.
Right.
So I didn't think that was unreasonable, but he raises his hand, and Rand Paul just starts in with this man-baby BS whining about Trump. And it's like, I want a candidate that's going to tell me what he stands for, what he's all about, not whining about some other guy on stage. And I feel like that's all he's done is whine, 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 whine.
And it's a political strategy to try and get some sort of, because he knows that if he can make it a Trump versus him battle, Rand is an extremely shrewd and smart politician. He is a very good political strategist when it comes to seeing a moment like this where he says, okay, let's make it Trump versus myself.
But that hasn't worked for anyone. Anyone who has attacked Trump is out of the race or 1% or less.
I'm not going to argue
with
you.
He's stupid.
And guess what? The fundraising quarter is over, and Rand Paul is in very serious trouble, and they're talking it may be a week or two before he's
done. And I
want
to, because I'm sure there's a lot of libertarians, I don't know, you guys have been critical of Rand Paul. I wanted to support Rand Paul. I loved his father. I voted for his father. My grandfather, who was a Democrat his whole life, at the end of his life, was a huge Ron Paul supporter. I think Ron Paul did more good for libertarianism, for Republicans who wanted to try to bring that libertarian philosophy into the party, than maybe any person ever.
Sure.
And I wanted to reward that with supporting Rand Paul, but man, what a whiner.
But if you go back and you look at Rand, if you look at Ron Paul in both 2008 and 2012, his delegates at state conventions were consistently disenfranchised. County parties across the nation, including here in Indiana, actively worked against Ron Paul supporters, went as far as stealing signs. I mean, here in Indiana in 2008, I won't go any further with that story because that's not my story to tell. But
you're so respectful of other people's stories.
Well, but that's, yeah.
You are genuinely a decent human being. You know that?
I try. Somebody has to be. certainly is not Donald Trump. Now, I will say that 2008, 300 some delegates were disenfranchised and kicked out by Mitch Daniels' folks here in, and who is a very libertarian leaning guy as far as Republicans go. 300 people were not allowed to vote in 2008 at the state convention because they were afraid that Ron Paul people would try and seize the convention or something crazy like that. And so they kicked them out. They changed their own rules to make that happen. And what ended up happening is they pissed off everybody. So John Costas, the governor's choice for attorney general, did not get selected. And Greg Zeller became our attorney general for the next 8 years. Because it was just a total backlash, and it was a finger in the eye of the governor for treating the Ron Paul delegates that poorly. Now, that essentially happened again all over the country in 2012. So when you have rules being they aren't even followed, like secret meetings are called to violate bylaws left and right, violate legally binding rules.
I would like to point out I'm a precinct committeeman in Hendricks County, and I've never been asked to legally violate legally binding laws. I just want to say I'm not involved.
Of course not. But it happens, and it has happened systematically across the nation. I'm getting sleepy, so I can't say systematically. Across the nation to keep Ron Paul supporters from having their voice heard in the last two elections. I mean, I talked to so many Ron Paul supporters from 2008 to 2012 that spent years not saying that they supported Ron Paul because they didn't want to get kicked out of the Republican Party in their county. And it wasn't like this is a story that they all decided to make up. It's like you go to the southern part of the state, the western part of the state, the eastern part, the central part, the big cities, the small cities, all over the country, I would connect with Ron Paul Republicans, and they would all say, well, I can't go out and canvass. I can't associate with the Libertarian Party. I can't stump for your candidate who I believe in, or I can't talk about Ron Paul. I can't promote Ron Paul. I can't promote the candidate. I have to promote the slate right now so I can vote for Ron Paul. So what you did is you hid your light under the basket, you know, or whatever the phrase is. Jesus, help me come up with the words here. But
as we see this nice religious picture over my shoulder.
Now, it doesn't make any sense to me that you would hide your beliefs in an effort to manipulate or deceive other people because you want a certain outcome. I get the strategy. I understood it. But it didn't make sense to me because I'm the type of person who can't keep, you know, I can keep secrets, but I can't keep my opinions to myself.
Sure.
But I have to say what I believe because it's central to who I am. And so they weren't doing it because they were, they had legitimate concerns as to why they did that. And, you know, I think the Republican Party has become a little more comfortable with the libertarians. You meet a lot of non-libertarian Republicans who say, I'm a libertarian Republican. I like Ron Paul. It's like, man, I wish you had said that before he retired, you old bag of gas. You know, like it's hip and cool to be libertarian, and the word's almost losing its meaning to Republicans that love to bomb brown people.
And this is what I talked to John, the head of the Libertarian Party. That's Joe, name? Joe. Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. And I think Melissa kind of agreed with me on this, and I don't want to speak for her. I'm sure she'll speak.
She'll speak for herself. Yeah,
She's got that covered. We had a Libertarian who ran for Hendricks County Council in Hendricks County last 2014 named Michael Dowden. Mm-hmm. And Michael Dowden ran on kitchen table issues. He wasn't talking drug use. He wasn't talking open borders. He was talking about things that were central to people in Hendricks County.
Right.
He won 18% of the vote. And by the way, I do vote Libertarian quite a bit. I voted for Michael Dowden. Libertarians, if they're, and this is what Joe and I kind of talked about, is if they're willing to get to the kitchen table issues, most people really agree with them
totally
on those things. And a Michael Dowden who gets 18% of the vote, he had like 20 signs and like 3 t-shirts.
Right.
You know, think about if that guy could raise $5,000, you know, or whatever. That guy realistically could win an election, and I hope he runs again, and maybe he will win.
Tell me who his Republican opponent was.
Oh, it was a guy named Jay Puckett, who is a county, been there 18, 20 years, something like that, 14 years.
Interesting. An entrenched career politician who has spent 18 years collecting as many
favors. And it may have been 14.
Either way, a hell of a long time collecting a lot of favors from a lot of people, you know, who is not going to lose at a county convention or even on a primary ballot. Because if he's in primary, and if he's primaried by a Michael Dowden, Michael Dowden's going to have the same effect in the primary as he did in the general election. That's not true. Let me rephrase that. The same result.
Right.
He had a different effect by running as a Libertarian because he had 6 more months to go out and talk to people because he was still a viable option. And people don't give a crap about primaries. Those are party-funded, closed party business. I mean, here in Indiana, primaries are paid for by the taxpayer. And if I'm a Libertarian or a Democrat, I can't vote legally in the Republican primary. It's not open primaries here. It's closed party business to select the party's
candidates.
So you don't
fib and say you're a Republican and go pick the Republican?
I don't.
You're perfect. That's very impressive.
Yeah. Go look at my record.
I would probably do that.
I will. If Rand Paul were on the ballot, I would go do that this next time. But Libertarians don't have the primary; they have a county, they have a state convention. So I don't go vote.
I was trying to talk to Joe about how I could become the Libertarian nominee for lieutenant governor. I was trying to wing that up. So I was like name dropping you, you know.
Yeah. Now, so my point is, Michael Dowden would have not even been mentioned on this podcast because no one was paying attention to the primary because it's closed party business. And he would have had, from January to May, early May, to make his impact on the process. But instead, because he ran as a Libertarian, he had all summer and fall to go out and spread his message and talk to more voters because he ran as a third-party candidate. And there are people who are not going to look at a Republican candidate, no matter what. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you have that brand of the R or the D next to your name, especially the R, you're a little more tarnished. Now, in a place like Hendricks County, Democrats, you might as well be a third party. You know, they have so gerrymandered both the state and local and federal levels that we really have one-party rule in most districts.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and there's a reason that guy has been there for 14 to 18 years. And it's because somebody, his buddy, that he has played golf with every weekend for the last 30 years, drew him a nice cozy district. You know, it happens all the time. And every 10 years, some politician who's a little bit of a troublemaker who goes against the party system, like a Marianne Sullivan, who went against her party on education and wanted education reform, and she's a Democrat, gee, isn't it weird that she got districted out of her district and districted into a hardcore R district? You know, where she wasn't even going to have a chance to run. She totally lost her voice because they traded Marianne Sullivan to get this guy safe and that guy safe or this person safe. You know, so the system is really rigged against third parties, but it's also rigged against primary challengers. So you're better off running as a Libertarian and having 3 t-shirts. Because you're going to still have this, you're going to have more impact on a person to person level if you go out and hit the grassroots.
I'm not sure you've changed my mind, but I'm far more receptive to it than I was 20 minutes ago.
Right.
Great job.
The other argument is that third parties are freedom of expression, and we have a First Amendment. And I think that gerrymandering and basically drawing districts to protect people, and ballot access laws that exclude third parties or fourth parties or fifth parties, or set arbitrary rules that are so high that it protects Republicans and Democrats, they're actually a violation of our free speech.
So here, but here is the thing, and we're sort of coming full circle with this. How do I, as a guy who is 100% pro-life, I'm ironclad on that issue. But at the same time, my issue is, if you want to be gay and you want to be married, I don't really care, because I don't think marriage is a function of the government. Right. And you belong to a church that, while I don't agree with it, says that you can do that. What do I care?
Right.
My religion doesn't believe that. But if you are of a religion that believes you can have a you can be in matrimony, and that's your private religious belief, what do I care? But the Libertarian Party is, for the most part, probably not ever going to accept my view on abortion.
That's not true.
It just seems like everyone I've talked to, that has been a sticking point, Melissa Hubbard excluded. She's very pro-life.
Yeah, and we talked about abortion on the last episode. Thanks for listening. And we really have, in a place like, it really depends on where you live at. If you live in a conservative area like Indiana, a lot of libertarians, it's probably 75% pro-life. If you live in San Francisco, California, it's 90% pro-choice. And, you know, my personal view on abortion is that you have to protect the life of the fetus, because it is a life. And to end the fetus is to murder, and you are taking away the fetus's right to live, and you're committing force against. Now, that's my personal belief. I also believe that no matter how many laws you pass, no matter how many guns you put on the streets, abortions will still take place. And ultimately, it comes down to a person's moral choice. Comes down to a person's, it's just like any other, it comes down to everything, man. Libertarians believe in persuasion and not force. I can't force you to believe what I believe. Because the harder I point a gun at you, the harder I fine you and tax you, the more you are going to resent my point of view.
Oh, I totally agree on taxation, but I don't think sucking the brains out of a defenseless fetus, I think that's a lot more serious than taxation.
Of course, but you're also never going to completely end abortion, okay? Here's the problem. We get mired in these single issues, and we sort of we get lost in the trees without looking at the whole forest, because then we start to get divisive. Because there are people listening right now who are so pissed off at our opinions because they're different than theirs that they're turning off the podcast.
But we feed off that. I do.
I don't.
I love it.
I want you to listen to every second of the show.
Oh, I know you want people to listen. I'm just saying I love it when people disagree
Because
with
the
me.
Problem with our political debate, the reason that these shows are an hour and a half, 2 hours long, is because we talk about the nuance of everything, the gray areas of everything. And it's impossible to really... you know, things are all kind of connected, and it's not just about abortion, it's not just about gay marriage, it's not just about immigration. It all has to start with a philosophy. And I don't believe that there should be... I don't know that I believe there should be a government, okay? to be quite frank, I certainly don't believe that there should be many, if any, laws. I think that the closest that we should come is the court system and policing powers.
Well, I was going to say, you can't tell somebody it's okay. We shouldn't have dueling anymore, should we?
No. But you know what? You want to duel? Duel. I don't give a shit. Why would we outlaw dueling?
I am, when I promote that I'm on this show, that is going to be the quote I'm going to use.
Go for it.
To promote.
Honestly. If two consenting adults want to point a gun at each other and fire, what the fuck do I care? You're helping the rest of us, because you're clearly that is Darwin at work.
Well, okay, so let me maybe narrow this down a little bit, because this is just the first thing that popped in my head. What if one side is dueling? I mean, you can't have people killing each other.
Well, no, of course not. And then, because the theory of libertarianism is that it's the non-aggression principle. Okay. My rights end when it starts to affect you. Okay?
Right.
Now, so you could make the argument for abortion that abortion is murder and therefore you should be arrested and put in jail because you are ending a life, and it is the same as if I walked in here, put a gun to your head, and pulled the trigger. Now, the other side is going to argue that it's a life, and that debate is never going to end. Okay, so it's really not even worth like a lot of discussion because people have made up their minds, and it really comes down to how is there a law or not? Are we putting people in jail or not? You know, murder is not permissible. Lying and deceiving are not permissible. Stealing is not permissible. Because if I come and harm your person or property, then I lose rights. Okay? I should have to pay for that. Because if I do anything that impedes your right to life, liberty, and property, then I am to be held liable, either financially or by being put in jail and losing my rights. I don't believe in the death penalty. I don't think the state should have the power to kill people because I don't think the state has the ability to do it correctly. Think about how many people have been killed innocently. Now, I don't have the right to kill you. I don't have the right
Thank
to,
you.
Yeah, I don't have the right to have a if you and I sign a contract, that contract is binding unless we both mutually agree that that contract no longer exists.
That applies to the Chris Spangle vault, right? That's
absolutely
a verbal contract.
Yep, that was a verbal contract. Non-violated. But it's very helpful information. Helps me know what not to do. And So let me ask you this,
because this is fascinating for me, too. It's a learning experience. Let's take it down to municipal
government. So let me finish this thought, too. So just as it is not permissible for me to walk up and punch you in the face, kill you, steal from you, cheat you, lie to you, whatever, I also morally cannot hire Greg Lenz to do it on my behalf to you. I cannot use an agent to steal from you, kill you, or violate your person life, your pursuit of happiness, which is life,
life, liberty,
and property. Now, that is essentially what the government is. The government is me saying to Greg Lenz, I want Rob Kendall to live the way that I think Rob Kendall should live. Or I think Rob Kendall should have to take 10% of his money and give it to these poor people. Or I think that blah, blah, you know. So the libertarian view is that taxation is theft because we are taking money from someone and giving it to somebody else for some purpose. And often it is violating that person's moral conscience. I would never go bomb people, innocent wedding guests in Syria. I would never have created ISIS. But our government did. And they did it with our money, and they did it by taking from me. And so I don't want to support government because I find it to be immoral. It does not, it violates my morals. So
you find aspects of government to be immoral. You don't find the police, which is an aspect of government. Now, maybe actions of the police, but idea of police, the idea of if your spacious Spangle estate were to catch fire, the fireman coming to put out your fire, you don't find that immoral.
Correct.
Okay.
So what is, because society does not cease to exist, we're not talking about anarchy, okay? We're talking about spontaneous order, where humans are highly adaptable. You will...
Yes, I've been through many relationships.
You will continue to survive if the government does not exist.
Even when you don't think you will.
Right.
Even when they tell you it's all over.
So, yeah. They keep coming
and they
back.
Throw it in your face.
Yeah. All right. You're getting a little cathartic here, all right? Now, I will tell you, people seem to think that as soon as you get rid of government, you're just going to be eating canned food, and it's like The Last Man on Earth, and all of a sudden you're having sex with Kristen Schaal in a weird way. Like, it's not going to work that way. For every need, there will be somebody who sees opportunity. And human beings want to help other human beings. So there will still be courts. There still will be police. There will still probably be armies. It's just they will be handled in a different way, in ways that are that succeed and fail at a much higher rate. And that's good for us because you get rid of the bad and the good rises up.
And I tend to say that, so what you, I think what you're advocating for is a more reduced scope of what government's responsibilities are. Would that be correct?
Police and fire will still exist, but they may operate more efficiently in a private enterprise.
That is interesting.
We have a hard time conceiving it because we live in a world where everything is controlled. Everything you touch has had the government's hands on it.
And here is where I think libertarians sometimes fail. And I've talked with many people about this. Incremental steps are the best way to get somewhere.
I totally agree with that.
So when I talk about the town of Brownsburg, I've reduced property tax rates by like 16%.
Right.
That's an incremental step because I fundamentally disagree with property taxes. Right. You never own your home when you have property taxes. The government always owns a portion of your home. So that is my way that I've been able to enact a libertarian-style principle is this reduction in property taxes. But at the same time, I also realize that the state sets down the mandates.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to spend money in a certain way.
Right.
I have to do things in a certain way. Do I agree wholeheartedly with the facade improvement program that helps buildings, dilapidated buildings in Brownsburg? No. But I also know they won't get fixed, and then I know people won't come to town and they won't spend money here and my town will suffer. So in a way, I'm a victim of state mandate, which says if you don't do it this way, Zionsville will and that business will go here.
Right.
I don't have a problem with government spending money on things such as, we mentioned, police, snowplow, roads. And I know there's a lot of libertarians who believe the road system should be privatized. It's an interesting theory. I know Munger's talked about that for a long time. I'm not sure what his exact position is on it. But roads are something everybody uses. And I look at it, if it's an item that something everybody uses, then I don't have a problem with everybody paying something for it. When I was first elected to town council, we have a food and beverage tax in the town of Brownsburg, which was a total scam when they built Lucas Oil. They took a penny from all the donut counties, which was a total farce. People should be irate about that you paid to build Lucas Oil Stadium, and Ursay's getting rich off of it.
Right.
Total scam. But what the municipalities in the donut counties did is they said, well, they're taking one. We can take two and just keep one for ourselves and blame it all on the state.
Yeah.
And so when I got into office, one of the first things I tried to do was repeal Brownsburg's food and beverage tax. Because I said, not everybody uses the park system.
Right.
Not everybody goes to the park. If you do, that's great. But not everybody uses it. I'd love to see the parks go to a privately funded mechanism.
Sure.
If you use the park, pay for it. Of course, that was voted down rather rapidly.
As is the nature of the state.
When you live in suburbia, you do not piss off the soccer moms. And they love their parks.
Of course, and I have recently walked in Brownsburg's trails, the B&O trail.
You're doing very well in Brownsburg.
Very nice. But that's the nature of government. They're never going to give you back your money. So they're always going to continue to take more.
Right, so what I would like to
see is... And so you get to a tipping point where the producers stop producing, and then we all just end up with mooches.
And you know this because you were heavily involved in the Libertarian Party, and you were heavily involved with the guy who ran for governor, and you meet a lot of people, and you're out there. Sometimes you get to a point, and I think Indiana's sort of at this place, where people stop fighting because they go, well, this is good enough.
Right.
Our property taxes are capped at 1% if I own a home.
Right.
Hey, that's a hell of a lot better than Illinois.
Right.
That's good enough. No, it's not.
Yeah.
And when people start thinking things are good enough, that's when the state takes back over and you start ceding rights again. So I'd like to see the state mandates go away. I'd like to see the federal mandates go away to local governments. And see our dollars used towards things that definitely benefit everyone, such as roads, water, sewer lines, things of that nature.
I mean, if we're going to have a government, I'd like it to be no bigger than townships.
Right.
So, or counties. Because what we have is you have less ability to move to other places. So local governments can be more competitive. And then, you know, but we're now in a situation where I talked about this on the Chick McGee podcast that I just put in the feed in the last episode.
Which I'm envious that you get to do that.
Thank you.
That is celebrity status right there.
I was legitimately surprised when he asked me to do it, and it was truly a huge honor for me.
Will you tell Chick he's one of my heroes?
I will.
One of my radio heroes?
And then I'll say, oh, okay. And
that guy's a weirdo.
He will, but we end up in a situation where we, I'm trying to think of my point as I stall and drag the words out.
Well, that's a radio broadcaster. If you can't filibuster in your own mind while you're forming thoughts, you're just not very good at your job, you know?
So, you know, one of the problems is that we just create the Leviathan that just continues to get
what
bigger and
bigger. What word did you just use?
Leviathan.
My IU degree did not process that one for me. You want to tell me what that means?
Leviathan is a fictional creature created by Hobbes, I think it was, that becomes larger and larger and larger and eats the earth and becomes a tyrannical monster, essentially.
Wow.
So
that is not a succubus, right?
No. Enough about your love life. And so, you know, what ends up happening is the government just grows in bureaucratic power and you get less ability to change it because more people are dependent on the paycheck from the government and the money for those paychecks is being taken from the producing taxpayers. You know, so it's we often have a hard time envisioning a libertarian society because we when I say private police, people think Blackwater. Well, no, Blackwater was buying off politicians and was a bastardized version of privatized police. It was a monopoly, and they were hiring bad dudes because they were the only game in town, and they could get away with whatever they wanted. And so that's not realistic. Oh, well, if we get rid of government to protect us, then corporations will get huge. Well, no, without the government, corporations don't exist because corporations are created by the state. And so if something's created by the state, the corporations are paying off politicians to pass laws to give them favorable status.
So, and that's all nice in theory, and I think we're trying to get to the same place, just I'm trying to take a realistic road because...
I'm not being unrealistic, and I'm not saying that you're not saying exactly what... You have to be... have to be pragmatic.
Well, and I was just going to say, and this will sound... People will fall out of their chairs when I have to say this, coming from me, but you do. I realize that I'm not ever going to get rid of property taxes in the foreseeable future.
Right.
But what I can do for the town of Brownsburg, and it's proven successful, mm-hmm. is cut that rate as much as possible, as many times as possible.
Right.
And when you do it, I think one thing politicians fail to do, or people that are in elective office who are in it for the right reasons, is show people the successes. And I think the Republicans... Mm-hmm. Maybe mostly because they don't have many successes, but they're awful when they do have successes of explaining them to people. Yeah, you know what? Rob Kendall's Facebook might get old that I'm always posting things about tax cuts and roads and what it's done for the community, but it's a reiterated point that when people go to vote on a school referendum, which would have been disastrous for the town, they're not getting their emotional heartstrings tugged on, even though we got outspent 60-1.
Mm-hmm.
They're still thinking, hey, Rob Kendall was very clear in these statistics that if tax rates go up, investment's going to go down, and our town could turn into a ghost town.
Right.
So I think we're maybe trying to get to the same place, maybe not on the same level, but the pragmatism is that a word? You're more of a wordsmith than I am.
Of course, that's the right word.
Pragmatism is again, general studies man from IU.
As Michael Munger said in the speech that we both attended, it's direction versus destination.
Yep.
I am certainly a direction libertarian. I agree that you are using the tools that are best suited to you. I am that are available to you.
Because I never know whether you like me or not. I feel like I'm always back and forth.
Well, that's part of my deal. Yeah. I got to keep people on their toes.
Well, because I asked a mutual friend of ours one time, who you know. I said, does he like me? Because we've only had a couple real conversations,
Why do you need me to like you, Rob?
Because I feel like you are a very sensible thinking person.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we maybe have a lot of the same views. I'm just a much bigger jerk about them than you are.
You care more than I do. I've stopped caring. That's the difference.
There are just certain people you're like, I don't know why I want that person. Because there's very few people that I care whether they like me or not. But you are someone I want to like me.
I like you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have shown you my pictures and asked you about things. So...
there's a thing called subtweeting. Are we sub-podcasting?
Totally.
Is that what we're doing there?
And they're dying right now. So
I'm going to make that a new thing. I'm sub-podcasting.
Yes. No, you're doing exactly what you can do in the position in which you can do it. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm saying you're doing the best that you can and moving us in the libertarian direction. And I think Mitch Daniels did that a lot of the time. And if you do it too much, you end up with the Dr. No stuff like Ron Paul. But I do think there is merit in what Ron Paul did because Ron Paul was very consistent. Yeah, despite the pork thing, where he brought home a lot of pork, and that was to maintain his reelection so he could go to Washington, you know, if you're in politics, you're never going to be clean. That's just how this works. You know, the government is filthy. And if you're Ron Paul, you have to bring home pork. The government, the president is going to spend it if you don't. So bring the pork back to your district to maintain your ability to go talk about monetary policy because nobody else
is. And I think that's one thing that Trump said that people in that first debate, and I applaud you for not watching the debates, they're a total waste of time. People sort of went, I can't believe he said that. And I was like jumping out of my chair applauding when he said it because they said, you know, you give to both parties. He goes, of course, I'm buying politicians.
Right.
And as a businessman, not Donald Trump the president, but Donald Trump the businessman, my investors expect me to buy these people.
You have to. That's the way the game is rigged.
And I thought that's the most honest thing I've ever heard from somebody running for president. And
right.
I would consider voting for the guy just based on that. That he freely – he talked about Hillary Clinton coming to his wedding. He said, you know, I give to these people. They come. When I call, they come. I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. As a businessman, I'm in it for me and my investors.
Yeah, and so I'm talking more about the destination and what it's supposed to look like and what it could look like. I'm not saying that that's going to happen in my lifetime. It certainly could. Doubtful.
You're very optimistic.
Doubtful. I'm realistic. Let's be honest.
Are you that way when you date women? Are you like, it could?
Listen, I'm kind of ugly, and you're really pretty, but this could work, right? No, I don't. No, we won't get into my dating life.
But by the way, for your listeners, and they see you, I'm sure, you look great.
Thank you.
I mean,
I'm going to keep you around all the time.
Seriously, it's so impressive. I love when you do the photo, side-by-side photo.
Right.
And I call them heavy spangle and skinny spangle. I mean, it's, what have you lost, 60 pounds?
65 pounds,
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And see, I always go through this thing like, my look is based on whether I'm in a relationship or not.
Okay.
I feel like I get really attractive really fast when I am just getting out of a relationship.
Right.
But once I'm in a relationship for a month, I mean, it was like the other day I looked at myself like, I kind of feel frumpy right now, but I don't really care.
Right. Well, when you're on the hunt, you got to look good.
I mean, like I was like from April through July, I was like in the gym for like, you know, 3 hours a day. I was running, lifting, and then like August, September, I've just been like, yeah, I lift 2-3 times a week.
Because you're full. You caught. You went out, you hunted, you came back,
but now you dragged
her back to your cave.
But now it's like, you know, it's like, man, I really do want to be very attractive even if I'm in a relationship. So I'm back on the drinking my Diet Pepsi, getting in the gym sort of thing.
Cut the Diet Pepsi out. There's so much sodium in
but
that.
But it's aspartame-free now. Diet Pepsi has informed me.
Read the sodium for me.
Let's see here. It looks like we've got zero sugars. It's only 35 milligrams. That's 2% of my daily intake. Now, I'm drinking this whole thing, so there's four.
It's a liter, by the way.
It's a liter.
It's almost damn near 2 liters.
Which, by the way, my favorite thing is to mix Diet Pepsi with my Long Island iced tea mix, which is awesome. And I know you're a non-drinker, but for anyone at home. So I'm sure there's probably some calories in that.
Is it like powdered vodka or what?
I refer to it as crack. It's legalized crack. This stuff is great. But, yeah, so I feel like right now, you know, you've inspired me. I saw those side-by-side pictures the other day. I was like, man, I got to get back in the gym and start lifting again.
You're looking chubby. I got it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
No, you got the guns out.
Yeah,
sun's not even out.
Yeah, I mean, and I got I wear a medium shirt, which is great.
That's
good.
I mean, I haven't worn medium since like sixth grade. So you got that going for you.
So, but, you know, I really do admire your penchant for staying on this and staying motivated. It's not an easy thing to do.
I'm way off the wagon the last like 2 or 3 weeks, but that's how it goes. You lose weight, or with any kind of personal growth, you fall off the wagon, you just get back on it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're pretty candid on your social media about when you fall off, like owning it.
Oh,
like I never own anything bad on my social media.
No. I went to BW3's before this podcast. I ate 10 wings and a cheeseburger, and I should not have. But I did.
But I would say most men are like me, like men that are I date women that are much younger than me. You know, I'm in the 21 to 25 age bracket. So, like, I have, because I'm competing with dudes that a lot of times are like, they're big college athletes or whatever.
Right.
If you're meeting them at Kilroy's, you got to have your A game going.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to up my game when I have to start dating. And now that I'm not in the dating mode anymore, I'm like, man, I gotta do it for personal pride for once.
Yeah. Explain, before we end, explain the Donald Trump thing to me.
What about it?
Why? What's wrong with you?
Well, as I said on Abdul's show, and by the way, I did this for an hour with Abdul. We talked all about Trump, which I thought was some of my finest radio.
Which you can
ever.
Find on WIBC, I'm sure.
Yeah, the podcast. It's great. If you want to hear more of me, I have no idea why you'd want to do this. But what I told Abdul out of the box is, if I had to vote today, I would close my eyes and vote for Ted Cruz. I almost said Ted Cruz, which his presidential campaign may be dead very soon.
By the way, he just, for those libertarians out there, he just hired Bob Barr to be the director of outreach to libertarians. There isn't anyone other than Wayne Allen Root that libertarians hate more than Bob Barr.
Yeah, it's how hilarious. Did that guy get your nomination for president?
Bob had been on the national committee, the LNC, for 2 or 3 years, and had done mea culpas around the nation on DOMA.
Because he was like a Iraq war guy, wasn't he?
He was very hawkish. And had a lot of very unlibertarian positions. But
do you guys like that when people tell you they're sorry because they couldn't be successful as Republicans, so they want to be?
No, I don't think, like Gary Johnson.
Well, love Johnson, though.
Careful.
Don't you? I mean, aren't
you? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Gary, how could you love a guy who ran for president as a Republican, got rejected, and then said, please love me, I'm a libertarian again?
Because he has a long, long track record. A, he's been a member of the Libertarian Party since like 94. He has
but
been a card-carrying
member. He was a serving governor as a Republican.
Absolutely.
He ran for president as a Republican and got like 0.2% of the vote and then says, oh, I'm sorry, take me back. You don't do that with your women, do you? You know, please take me back, love me.
Would you be talking about Gary Johnson to me right now had he not joined the Libertarian Party?
Well, I'm talking about him, too, because he was your nominee for president.
Of course.
But to me, I'd much rather have a guy that is a libertarian. Like, I am.
Gary, but
he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out,
but
he's
again,
in, he's out.
A libertarian is a philosophy, and Gary, for a long time, has been a libertarian small L. Now, Bob Barr spent a period of time, I'm sure he had aspirations of running for president as a libertarian, but that's not necessarily the most prestigious thing on the planet. And I think he got involved and felt like he could help. And so I believed his mea culpas. I don't know how much I believe
so
it
So you voted
now.
For Barr?
I did, yes.
And I will tell you this. I try to always vote libertarian at least one in each election mm-hmm. cycle. Just I try to find a good candidate and vote for them.
Right.
I've only almost voted libertarian for president one time. That was for Barr because I hated McCain so much.
Right.
But I could not stand the thought that if Indiana lost by one vote, and that would be my fault, that I gave the presidency to Obama. Because as much as I hate McCain, I hate Obama like 10 times more.
That fear and shame will get you every time.
Well, I was also, that was 08, that was 7 years ago. I was, yeah. As the Bird song says, I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. You know, that sort of thing.
Trump. Why are you into Trump?
I love the whole Trump persona. I believe that the Republicans have failed to embrace the culture that we live in, which is we are a reality TV culture. I think the crusty, old, boring white guy Mitt Romney, John McCain thing is never going to work, which is who we seem to nominate now. I think Trump opens, if you look at his polling with African Americans, 25% of the vote. I mean, the unions are now holding off endorsing Hillary Clinton because they're meeting with Trump.
Right.
I think Trump gives the Republican Party the only legit shot to win the presidency. I think the Trump thing to get on stage with Hillary Clinton and seeing him stick it to her for multiple months would be absolutely hilarious. And if the country's going to burn, it might as well be entertaining. And I think Trump gives us the only chance to win.
Okay.
I love Trump. I love the ego. I love the over-the-top statements. I love the fact that he is not afraid to look at anyone and just tell them exactly what he thinks.
Well, you love professional wrestling.
I do. and I wrote in one of my books, when I ran a statehouse campaign in North Carolina, we actually put the guy in a wrestling match as part of a skit to get him free publicity. I mean, I love pro wrestling, and politics and pro wrestling are so closely mirrored. I had a colleague today use language with me that I almost responded to him, are you a pro wrestler or a local government official?
I'm really going to put you over on this. Hey, kayfabe this, kayfabe.
Well, I mean, he could have been The Rock talking to me. It's like, dude, we're in municipal government. We don't matter. We don't talk like this to each other.
We don't matter. But I like that attitude.
But Trump, to me, is uber entertaining. I love the bravado. I love the alpha attitude. I love the fact that he sticks it to everyone. And I honestly, at my core, believe he's the only Republican that has a chance to beat Hillary Clinton.
Okay. All right, I can see for party pride.
Hey, and I'll tell you what. I'd much rather have a Trump presidency because can you imagine Putin and Trump in the same room together?
Listen here. I can ride that bear better than you. I look fabulous, my shirt off.
And, you know, my whole thing now is I just kind of go Trump on people and it seems to be pretty successful.
I will say that I did agree with him. Like, if Putin wants to fight ISIS with Syria, let him. What do I care?
Yep, and I think that's a philosophy. I know we were going to talk about it in Greg's boring itinerary. I think that's a philosophy a lot of people have about the Middle East. Let's let these people beat each other up, and we'll deal with the winner.
Yeah. But unfortunately, we don't do that.
No, we don't, and I think that's the wrong strategy.
We'll be
I think
funneling guns to one side or the other.
And I think Israel could totally take care of itself, and I thought Trump was pretty insightful. I don't know if he meant to be or not. Sometimes I think Trump just says whatever comes to his mind at that moment. By the way, Donald Trump's Twitter is the most entertaining thing ever. Like the way he retweets people, and then like he retweeted himself the other day. It's outstanding. I told my dad, I was like, I think maybe he's like drinking or something while he's doing this because it's hilarious.
But that is amazing.
I think Trump is the only Republican that has a chance to win, and I just think it's highly entertaining. And if the ship's going to burn, let's at least have fun
doing
it.
I'm going to go follow Trump right now.
Yeah, you will love it. I mean, it is. And by the way, it's the other thing with Trump is there's so many establishment people that I just don't care for, and I love pissing them off by putting Trump stuff up.
There you go. I'm down with that. I can handle that. I've thought about supporting Trump just for the trolling factor.
Well, I want the hat. I love the hat.
Yes. You know,
and the way I get away with things in my house is I use my dog as a prop sometimes.
Right.
So when people are getting on me, I tell them, I'm voting for Ted Cruz. Bruce is the Trump man. Take it up with him. I'm just promoting Trump for Bruce.
Ted Cruz, why?
I believe Ted Cruz, and your libertarian listeners are going to cringe at this. My dad is a huge Ted Cruz person, so he will listen to this. This will probably be the first We Are Libertarians podcast. My father,
sorry, Mr. Kendall.
My father is Mr. Conservative Republican man.
Right.
Makes me look like some weak-kneed liberal, you know.
Yes.
Dad loves Ted Cruz. I believe Ted Cruz is brilliant. I'm sure your listeners all just cringed, your libertarian people.
No, I think he is... You don't get to where successful. I mean, he is. He's smart.
I think Ted Cruz. I mean, he was the Solicitor General for Texas.
Right.
Ivy League dude. Right. I think he's brilliant. I think he's articulate. I think he will stand up for what he believes in. I think he will stand tall for what he believes in. I agree with him on a lot of things. Some things he's a little over the top for me. I'm not sure, and I guess what comes down to if it were Trump or Cruz, I believe Cruz would be far more consistent in standing for what he is. I think Trump might wilt. I just think Trump's highly entertaining.
I think Ted Cruz truly believes what he says and has a consistent philosophy of what he believes. I just think he's a little bit too much of a tryhard.
What is a tryhard?
A tryhard is
what... Is that something you made up?
No,
or
that's what the kids say these days.
Okay.
I learned this from... from one of Christy Lee's daughters.
Okay.
Said, he's a bit of a tryhard. I said, what does that mean? Said, just somebody who tries too hard to
I
fit into the crowd.
Maybe there was a sexual innuendo
No. No, just one of those people who wants to fit into the group so badly that they try too hard and they just, sort of like we were talking earlier, if you betray yourself, everybody can see it. And they just go, you're a tryhard.
Yeah. Well, and I might agree with that. I mean, look, here's the bottom line. I've got Bush, who's a no-go under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Huckleby's like a guy you'd see at a Denny's somewhere, you know.
Right.
Rubio, to me, is a total
two-face.
And the immigration thing to me, which we didn't even get into the immigration issue, but Paul's out. It's got no chance. Fiorina, to me, is a total zero. And I think Carson... You know,
please. Enough said.
I mean, he's just 999 away from being, you know, Herman Cain. But you know, I think Carson's a very nice man. I think his importance in history should never be underscored, whether he's a good presidential candidate or not. But I think of the realistic people that I could support, it comes down to Cruz or Trump. And how could a guy with my ego not support Donald Trump?
What about Kasich?
Oh, no, no. I think Kasich's a total zero, too. I mean, I think the expansion of Medicaid, the stuff he did in Ohio, I think Kasich's a total, would you say try hard?
Try hard, yeah.
I used to watch Kasich when he was on Fox News. He was much better on Fox News than he was as a governor.
Are we forgetting anybody else?
That have a chance? Well, you got Christie, who's got no chance. And I think I'm trying to think of the people on the main stage. So, I mean, I think realistically, the people that have the shot to get the nomination, you got Bush, Rubio, Trump, Cruz. Those are probably your four that have a realistic chance. I think Carson and Fiorina will flame out here very soon.
I think Christie will have his moment.
I think he will. Here's the thing with Christie, though. He's so... Everything's 9/11, and I was... You've been a prosecutor for like 2 weeks, dude.
Bitch, you're a Republican. What do you say? Well, what is the joke? I hear every 9/11.
You got to be careful now.
What's the difference between a cow and 9/11? Republicans can't milk a cow for 14 years.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, Christie to me.
But I get. I'm not saying you're not wrong though.
I mean,
you know,
I mean,
it's like I don't know about abortion when I was meeting with 9/11 families.
Well, and then, you know, him and Rand Paul got into it, and that was one part where I thought Rand Paul did very well was in their encounter in the first debate. Christie, to me, again, total loser, no shot, but I think there's four or five that have a realistic chance. And of those, Cruz and Trump, I mean, I would vote for Rubio begrudgingly. I would vote for Fiorina begrudgingly. I would vote for Carson probably begrudgingly. The only two I'd be excited about voting for are Cruz or Trump. Cruz, because right. I think he'd do a good job. Trump, because it'd be uber entertaining.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And I want that hat.
I think Biden versus Trump is going to be amazing.
I think it would be, too. I also think Sanders versus Trump is the best thing that could happen for the country, because you have two polar opposites in every facet. And who would Melissa Hubbard vote for?
I don't know.
She would just jump difficult. Off a cliff or something.
All right, we got to end. So at the end, we give our guests and our hosts the opportunity to say exactly what they'd like to say, self-promote.
Oh, I can't say exactly what I'd like to say.
I had to pause so he could self-promote. And but we give our guests the opportunity to self-promote, to talk about whatever they missed, a point that I moved on too quickly and they didn't get to finish their thought, which happens quite a bit. Whatever you want to say, the floor is yours, Rob Kendall.
Well, Chris, I want to say thank you, first of all, for the opportunity. To do this. You're a great guy. I love the show. I always try to listen. I love the Kim Jong-un look-alike of you that is the logo now. You guys are wonderful. You do a great job. Libertarians have a very important place in the political system. I'd love to see them start getting elected to office. I hope they continue to focus on kitchen table issues, which I think, at least in this state, the party is going towards.
Totally.
Because they make the Republicans better, and I think it's not until the Republicans start losing elections that they're going to wise up to the good side of what the Libertarian Party has to offer. Just from a self-promotion standpoint, short of being a wonderful representative for the town of Brownsburg, I do invite everybody to check out my Central Indiana Today show. You can listen online if you're not in Hendricks County at wyrz.org. We do podcast everything. And Chris, I'd love to have you on the show sometime soon.
Anytime.
You can't use about seven of those words you used tonight, though.
Fuck, shit, cunt, piss.
Those would all be out, yes.
Okay. We don't have the FCC here. Fuck the FCC. They limit our free speech, and I can say whatever I goddamn well please. Because I bought this microphone.
FCC, if you're listening, thank you for that low-power FM in Hendricks County. We really appreciate that.
And Mr. Kendall, I'm sorry I said those words.
thank you for that station in North Carolina.
Think of all the Republican listeners that are going to listen to this because nice, sweet Rob Kendall went on this podcast, and then there's this monster saying, fuck.
But it's not Rob Kendall.
It's not Rob.
I've got to not say what I think for at least another 3 months. And then Katie bar the doors. And see, this could be maybe the most listened. You are able to track the numbers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've got me, who is the most shameless self-promoter in the whole world. Group of people. You've got the libertarian people. And then all the people who don't like me, some political, some not, who will listen to this as well. So, I mean, you're...
Because
I'm going to promote the hell out of this.
Some people have not liked the decision for us to just go ahead and curse on the show. I got so when Gina was on, Gina cursed all the time. I mean, it was literally like every word it was cursing. And I was spending, we would do a 2-hour show and I'd spend 5 hours editing it. Yeah. You know, it was just too much. And so I just was like, all right, not safe for work, tag on this shit. And I just feel like that's how people actually talk.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if we're going to preach authenticity, then we're going to leave the curse words in because that's what people say. That's how people talk.
I got no issue with the cursing. I've still got to MC a couple events that involve youth here coming up in the next few months.
Right.
So I'm trying to keep those gigs solid.
No, so. I'm not. I'm just saying in general. I'm more speaking to the listeners who are like, hey, I used to play this at work and now I can't because you say, you know, the C word. I apologize. I'm sorry. It's more of a me being lazy thing.
Have you found that in American society that the C word is now the most offensive word you can use? Like, I'm finding that quickly.
Not if you hang around the people I hang around with. I mean, the last girl I dated used it like the word water.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I was having that conversation the other day, and it turns out, like, that is, like, to especially to women now, like, the most offensive word you can use.
Nope, not if they're talking to each other.
Huh.
And they're talking about another female.
That's
no, I will say.
And see, I don't have that because I'm self-employed. I'm not around an office.
Right.
I just have a very small group of people I hang out with.
Older adults, it curls their hair. But you start, like, talking to younger people, people under the age of 28, that word is used as much as the F word, maybe more.
If you don't want to ask you, how old do I look now?
47.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. No, you look like you're...
Could I still pass for 25? Like, if you saw me?
I'm saying 28.
So yeah, you'd still peg me in my 20s.
Yeah, what are you?
I'm 31.
Oh, okay, I'm 32.
Okay, so yeah. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, yeah, you're still good. I didn't know how old you were. I thought you were 28 or 29.
Yeah, that was...
You look like a young Dario Franchitti.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
By the way, my claim to fame is I once dated a girl who... dated Marco Andretti briefly before
me.
Well,
that's not necessarily an accomplishment.
So I always root for Marco at the 500.
Yeah, because you're...
Because I know she'll be angry.
Everybody's dated Marco Andretti.
That's what I heard.
I'll tell you some very prominent names off air. All right, kids, thank you for joining us. I've got nothing. I've got to get up at 4:30. I've been up since 4:30. I fell asleep like an old man in a chair today at my coworker's office. The graphic designer, I'm sitting in this big red comfy chair. I'm like, hey, I'm just going to close my eyes.
You take a lot of pictures of your coworkers.
I do.
Do they know you're taking the pictures?
Sometimes.
Okay, I was going to say, because some of them I feel like they don't know.
No, generally, if you see things on my social media, just assume that it's a joke.
Okay.
And that I'm mostly not serious.
And you're into the Snapchat thing, right?
I am. I love Snapchat.
Because I've been told for like 2 years now I need a Snapchat, and I know myself, and it scares the heck out of me.
I have never once received or sent any sort of nude body part. Ever. It's really just sort of...
I'm not sure receiving it would bother me. I think it would be...
Yeah, well, nobody's going to, like, force... I mean, well, maybe they will. The government come over and force you to take a dick pic. But, no, I love Snapchat, and if you're on Snapchat, add me, C Spangle. I love it because it is just a fun way to chat. It's a different way to chat. It's like, more creative because it's visual, so... I think it fits. I understand why it fits in with a younger demographic because it is more visual.
I suppose I should hawk my Twitter, shouldn't I?
You should.
I'm at Rob M. Kendall.
Right.
K-E-N-D-A-L-L.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. It was a great episode. Mostly not because of Rob, but because Greg was not here. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you very much for being here, Rob. So it was a
lot
of fun.
Thank you, Chris. I loved it.
All right. And all right. Hey, you beautiful listeners. Thank you for joining us. Please share this episode. If you are new to the podcast because of the Off the Air podcast, I thank you for listening. And I appreciate you adding us. And as always, we promise to do better next time.